Master gardeners are wonderful. I've been working with these folks for some 30 years now, and they are just a delight. My primary responsibility is with commercial arborists and landscapers, but I find I'm increasingly involved in master gardener programs. We've had some very interesting venues to teach these folks in. One of my most memorable, kind of in a line with the holiday season, was one we did at Jessup. Jessup is a maximum security prison in Maryland. After I'd given my presentation, there was one very engaging woman who had lots and lots of questions about this. And at the end, I said, "Well, John, what is she in for?" John Trenfeld. And she said, "He said, Mike, this particular inmate was incarcerated because she murdered her husband and then wrapped him as a Christmas gift and put it in under the mother's Christmas tree." So, in the holiday spirit, I'll say that master gardeners are among the most interesting group of people I deal with. Here's what we teach them. I'm kind of bug centric, and I think bugs are cool. I just love them to death. But I try to keep this in perspective. We really focus on two areas. This is a program out of a typical county. This is Baltimore County's MG. Introductory training, and to the question in the back, we do a section on introduction to insects, and I also do one on IPM and beneficials. So it's not just me, it's several folks that participate in this kind of training, but let's keep it under control. We might not be the most important here. This is their big tool, their big tome. It's a wonderful thing. It's being redone right now. Can also be used as a boat anchor and nighttime reading. What I like to teach about, no, it's really quite good, I'm teasing, is basic elements of insect biology, and a lot of this stems from my work with arborists and what they need to know to do their job. I spin this basically as you are crime scene investigators. Everybody loves CSI. I know I do. And I said, what I'm going to make you is a CSI, because what you're going to often see is not a perpetrator standing over a body with a knife. You are going to see symptoms. So I stress very heavily mouth parts and the damage they do. I use an approach called symptomatology, which was first formulated by a true genius in this whole business, a gentleman named Carl Kaler. This was published in Journal of Arboriculture back in 83, and I all recommend that you get this reading. And I basically teach them plant symptoms and the mouth parts that cause it, and then we work backward up through the system and teach them the orders. Right now, our textbooks, unfortunately, are very taxonomic top-heavy, so they learn things like Embioptera and Thysanura and want to know how they affect plants. I try to teach them symptomatology, what the bug mouth part does, and then who the perpetrators are. So it's a little bit reversed. And this is one of the primary tools I use. We also give them some information on who the good guys and bad guys are, and what they look like, and how they work in the ecosystems. Now, to generate data, because I'm just standing up here yapping at you, and it's always nice to look at data, I did a little survey. John and Robin helped me with this, but basically we used a modified Likert scale. And I was concerned with how useful the information of, what they would like to learn more about, and the modality of instruction, how they like to learn. There were a couple open-ended boxes there. If they wanted to tell us more, they could. And what we did is we announced the survey with an email communication. We sent out a reminder, and they completed it through the web. The sample wasn't quite as large as Pamela's. We only sent out to about 1,000, a little bit better than 1,000. A number of these people disappeared, when we like to do that sometimes. And about 234 came back, so we got about a 31% return rate. One of the first things, I wasn't terribly interested in demographics, but as we go back and we review the data in a little more detail, we can look at things like, how long ago did you receive your training? This scaled out from 0 to 30 years, basically. But in terms of the respondents, the primary response was in folks that have been there less than 4 years ago. Okay, that might not be surprising either. the kind of real hubs in terms of where the training happened. We'll use this more for our internal purposes, but it was basically clustered in the Baltimore-Washington corridor. As we scaled out down into our Eastern Shore areas and out into the mountains, there isn't a heck of a lot of this going on. And I think we can expect to see more going on out there as a result of this. The questions I asked were basically, was the training useful in understanding life cycles of the bug, understanding the form and function? We do spend a bit of time on that. How they feed, how they damage plants, and relating this damage, this CSI link, to the pest that caused it. Diagnosis, and again, the distinction between beneficials and pests, good guys versus bad. Yikes. That's what it looks like when it comes back. It's not very interesting. And I will apologize right now. I'm going to show you a whole bunch of histograms that look like this. Okay? This is really boring stuff, but we're going to plow through it anyway. I've kind of arranged these in, again, here our Likert scale was not useful to very useful. And what we're interested to see is things in this category, basically. So the more bars we got down here, the more useful it is to these guys. When we got bars in the middle, they don't care. And I've kind of clustered them according to the things that they found more useful, most useful. Well, that kind of worked. One of my primary goals was to help them understand how the bugs damage the plant. This is one of the things apparently they learned quite well. It's approaching 90% that found that information very useful or useful. One of the big surprises here was that they really learned, paid attention to the beneficial insects. Maybe that's not so surprising. They love these things. Everybody loves a hero, I guess. The life cycle business. The life cycle is important to help them differentiate between holometabolous and hemimetabolous insects as it relates to both damage, recognition, and management options. So they kind of like that, or they kind of thought it was useful stuff. The diagnostic end, still holding up pretty good. This is kicking in at a 70-80% range, which is just fine. How they feed. Learning about harmful insects. Now contrast this with our beneficial insects. Now we're starting to sink into categories that they really didn't find that information very useful. So I think we're presenting these in kind of equal balance, and I think maybe what they're doing, this is reflecting, is kind of this very fondness of beneficial insects, and really, all right, there are the pests. And this trend, I think, will continue, which is interesting to me. Form and function, all right, you know, they thought that was good, and some of them thought it was useful. Was it in relating damage to the insect caused? Again, not bad. But this will clearly be one of the areas that I need to spend more time on because I think this is very important. This is one of my foci for training. What would you like to learn more about? Okay. Identification of beneficial insects. You can't show them enough of these. And this is overwhelmingly the thing they would really like to know more about. Obviously, this is something that we'll be spending more time on. Alternatives to insecticides. Okay. That's cool. Diagnosing. They learn it. They want more. Specific beneficial insects. Now, I interpret this to be both an identification, I'll show you why in a minute, both an identification kind of an issue, but also they like the stories about how beneficial insects make their living, kind of the cool things that good bugs do. Slightly behind this is the identification about insects in general. Okay, so we've kind of broke it out between beneficials and insects in general. Actually, we had reversed it, insects in general. We asked about beneficials and harmfuls. But they want to know a lot about beneficials. Then they would like more on the identification of bugs in general. Like to know more about relating damage to the insects that cause it. Understanding how they damage the plant. Again, this business about the mouth part. And, you know, it's really hard to separate out cause and effect here, I think. You know, when you tell somebody for the first time, you know, you have bugs with chewing or sucking mouth parts, and all of a sudden they realize this, I think then they become curious about what that means, and I would like to know more about this. Now, these kind of things were kind of surprising to me. The last two or three I'll show you here is that in terms of insecticide safety, they were pretty ambivalent about this. They really didn't care to know a great deal about insecticide safety. Learning about harmful insects. We have a couple categories here. Even though a lot of people scored it as important, it wasn't nearly as important as these six or seven other parameters I've shown you already. So learning about the bad bugs was far less important than learning about the good bugs. Even though I spent time on this, and this is a bit odd because diagnostics ranks high, again, I've got to do a better connect with this business about understanding how the insect feeding relates to the kind of damage and the symptomatology. One of my pet things that I like to do is teach about immatures, friends and foe in the immature stage. And to these folks, either I haven't made the connection that this is an important thing to know, or they simply don't care very much about immature stages as much as the adults. Maggots are ugly. I don't know. Understanding the ecology of insects. Again, there was an indication that they do want to understand more, but it didn't rank quite as high as some of the other things here. Insect behavior. Again, they would like to know more, but again, not nearly as important as the identification piece. Understanding life cycles. Kind of an intermediate response, in my opinion. They didn't care. They didn't care what was available in this particular survey, which I find quite surprising. It was a neutral. They really didn't want to know very much about what they could use. And this to me is very surprising. And Pam, I'm not sure what I kind of interpret this as a bit of a disconnect with, you know, what you were saying. I'm not sure what this is about. This was one of the findings that was quite surprising to me, that they didn't want to know more about what was available to them for managing these things. And they really don't care about insecticides. The folks, again, I think the emphasis here is largely on identification issues. They simply, in my opinion, can't get enough of learning about beneficial insects, what they look like, how they work, and they really don't care very much about what insecticide you're going to use to control them. And this could be a subset, a unique subset of the general population. I think our master gardeners are really quite unique in terms of the people that join these programs. And this to me isn't entirely surprising. They ask very few questions about what I used to smack these down. They ask a lot of questions about what ladybird beetles look like and do. So not terribly surprising. Form and function, you're right. You know, we're spending too much time talking about form and function in general, you know, how many leg parts there are, how many tarsi, and whatever. You know, again, I think this business, teach them what the mouth parts look like and what kind of damage they do are probably the most useful things in terms of form and function. Take that back to your form and function teachers, guys. How do they like to learn it? Okay, what formats are most enjoyable for them? They love to go outside and walk around. When I do my trainings, if it's a nice day, I'll yap at them for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then I'll say, that's enough of this, and we go out and we try to employ the symptomatology as much as we can. I show them as many bugs as we can. In an hour, 2 hours, or whatever we have, and I basically incorporate the lecture material into a lab, an outdoor bug walk, a bug adventure, and they like this. I mean, who wouldn't? I know right now, I'd be out there having my nose in a plant if I wasn't sitting in here with you guys, okay? Printing information, they like that. And Whitney, they mentioned your book several times. The book is selling in Maryland, so. And they do use the IPM guidelines, California. So you guys are doing great. Keep up the good work. It's delightful to see them actually mention these things by name. Laboratories, and this particular slide includes both laboratory training and lecture training inside. Kind of so-so. Web-based is up there, but it's not nearly as important to them as the actual hands-on go for a walk. If you gave them a choice of surfing or surfing, they're going to be outside. Can't blame them. Now, did you want to learn more? A lot of them said yes. Two-thirds said that this information interested them or stimulated them to learn more. And in what way? In terms of the responses where they name specific examples, again, 62% said, or 70-some percent said yes, but when it actually came to the comment, only 62% identified what I would call a specific thing. What did they seek more information on? Identifying insects. Learning about beneficials, learning about the pests, observing insects. A lot of people said as a result of the training, they simply go out and they start looking at bugs. And then when they look at the bugs, they want to identify the bugs. They use some of this information to diagnose problems. Again, they go out and purchase the books. They use it in terms of their teaching, attending classes, and learning about management. Some of the other interesting things they said, they take pictures, they study the role of insects in ecosystems, they buy and release beneficials, they raise bugs at home, they plant flowering plants to encourage beneficial insects, things like that. What else are they up to? You'll hear some more talks about this a little bit later, but we're now starting to integrate some of the activities into first detector training for things like emerald ash borer, winter moth, sudden oak death, soybean rust. Dave Clement, one of my colleagues, has trained about 150 to identify these top ones. And we now actually have a couple master gardeners that are working with Maryland Department of Agriculture to go out when they get a phone call, oh, I've got emerald ash borer, the MGs go out and find out if that's the case. Okay? These are the folks that helped me. Thanks a lot for your time and attention, and thanks so much for putting this together.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay.